consensus.
Okay, so all of the group representatives, I'm going to ask you to come up here shortly, and don't freak out. I'm going to have the microphone in front of you, so I want people to capture what the groups have been discussing. I'm going to do, let's look at the groups from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read the passage out loud, and then you send your representative and discuss what, or share with us what your group said, okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says this: In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification from sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Okay, group representatives, come on down. Come on, Dave. Dave Smith, up to the plate.
All right, so what we saw that he is the creator and the heir of creation. That's in verse 2. He is the sustainer and savior. And that's in verse 3. And he is superior to all creation in verse 4. Is that what you wanted?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Hello. Can you hear me? Well, that was a very like Protestant evangelical thing. We went more like mystic, orthodox. Yeah. No, we didn't come up with any points here. We just kind of discussed kind of the weird things about this passage. One of the more pragmatic ones we brought up was that it says that he sustains all things by his powerful word, meaning it wasn't like he was just a contractor that God kind of threw out there and then he finished repairing the bathroom and then left. He's constantly doing it. So kind of a polemic against the deism and the watchmaker God kind of concept. And the other one was, a couple other things were that it's going to be interesting to see how when the John passage, but this idea of words and speaking. So God spoke to us long ago in prophets. Now he's spoken to us through his Son. And then Christ, the Son, sustains all things by his powerful word. He has a name that's higher. So it's this idea of God and Christ like speaking things into existence. And so we thought that was kind of interesting, especially when we talk about John. And then the other one was this idea that he's the radiant, the Son is the radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things. It's almost like God exists outside of the universe. He's bigger than the universe, and Christ is kind of the way he projects his essence or his nature onto this physical reality that we have and this spiritual reality that we have. And so those were kind of the things we came up with. And the other weird thing is that this all seems, if you read this, it's very hard to like try and pin it down practically. It's kind of abstract and mystical, which is interesting. Great.
All right, and so the other passage we're looking at quickly is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. By the way, guys, so far, straight A's. For sure you get points for participation. I'm learning this. If you participate, you get points, right, Chuck? Do we do that? No? No. Oh, not at Cookham. You have to earn every single point with actual work. All right, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Can I speak?
Yes, you may speak.
Can we start with an arm wrestling?
Do I need to cover my head?
Maybe.
I love that.
I look terrible in that. Maybe you should go first. Okay.
Probably cover everything we
talk about. No, I don't know. Okay. So from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We said that Jesus is the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. I can't believe you people are taking pictures.
You look good.
I know I don't look good in hats. Okay. So we just established that right there in the first verse, that he is God, the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. He was with God in the beginning. We went back again to the Trinity, and that God is a God of community. So that God did this in concert. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So this is where we really see that Jesus is the creator. And that the Trinity worked in concert in creating. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. We didn't have time to look it up, but it reminded me of the Revelation passage where it talks about there's no need for sun or moon because Jesus is the light. So he is the light. He is the life through creation and through redemption. So he created life. He also creates redemption for life. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? Okay. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness can never overcome light, but light always can overcome darkness. If you've ever been on a cave tour where they turn out all the lights, all they have to do is turn on a flashlight, and it just overcomes the darkness. That's why if you go like to the planetarium or to the, like out in West Texas, to go look at the stars, they have to wait for hours until it's totally dark so that you can even see the stars, because if there's any light, any ambient light, you really can't see. But when Jesus is the light, so he reveals truth and righteousness. I'm sure I'm going on and on and on. Okay, and then he has overcome the darkness, so he's overcome sin, death, and darkness eternally. He is the one that overcomes all darkness.
Somebody ain't snapping a picture of that, right?
Yes.
No,
yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
It's going through the website.
Routine.
Well, we were nowhere as profound as Cindy's table. So I think a couple of the things that we discussed, number one, was that Jesus was co-creator. You know, he, as God, was there at creation. And then I think the other piece is thinking about, verse 5 says, the light shines in darkness and the darkness doesn't overcome it. The analogy that was brought up for us was camping and a flashlight. So very similar thought process. But that the first thing that God created was light. Analogizing to Jesus being the light that shines in darkness made us think back to the very first thing that God did was create, with his perfect creation, create a way for salvation before sin had even entered the world. So, you know, God recognized that there was going to be sin, that there was going to be that loss of a relationship, and the first thing that he did was create the rescue plan to bring us back from sin. So that was kind of it.
I love it. Y'all did great. Everybody gets an A today.
Fish over.
That's spoken as a true veteran of the education realm, right? Okay, that was very fun, I thought. Thank you for sharing that. No, I really mean that. I didn't mean it that way that you just laughed. It was a fun exercise. I think y'all did great, great thoughts. Yes, and so my main point of doing this, of course, is to illustrate that when we say that Christ is the key, his death, burial, and resurrection is the key that unlocks the deepest meaning of the Old Testament, that's what we mean. You're going to see passages in the New Testament where Christ is being described in a way that is intimately related to the Old Testament, one of them being the first act. The act of creation. Christ was there, creating, through his word, revealing, shedding light. That same word sustains even today. That same word is still redeeming his people. These are all ideas that would have been completely, it would have gone over the heads of the Hebrews reading this when these words were first spoken to them and were first revealed to them. But we have the distinct privilege of knowing the Christ who unlocks them. And my goal is probably not going to happen. I have one more week, and I don't know when I'm going to be teaching again, but when I teach again, hopefully we're going to start right at the beginning in Genesis, and what I would like for us to do is to start looking at the unfolding of that revelation in Christ. Looking at the Old Testament and looking at the passages where Christ is the most relevant person to unlock the meaning of that passage. That's my goal. I don't know where we're going to pick up with that in which month I'm going to be teaching, but I just wanted to let you know that's where I want us to go eventually. Looking at the biblical theology of the Old Testament by looking into Christ's role and revealing to us what it means. Does that sound like a good plan?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness, allowing us to be here this morning, worship you, read your word in freedom, share your thoughts, and encourage one another. We thank you for sending Christ and for allowing him to complete the mission you gave him, which allows each and every one of us to partake in the communion which already exists perfectly in your triune nature. We ask that you bless all of us today and the rest of this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.